Welcome to Show Yourself, a podcast about managing through hardship and maintaining strong mental health. We encourage you to come as you are with an open mind and an open heart. My name is Sam.
And my name is Maggie. We're excited to embark on this journey with you, but first we have some important information and disclaimers that need to be shared. One, because of the nature of this podcast, we will be covering potentially triggering themes such as alcohol use and disordered eating. This podcast is not meant to glorify or romanticize any aspects of the recovery journey. However, details of our personal experiences may be used to help provide insight to the process.
Two, we are not licensed mental health professionals. We have not received prior training in the field of substance abuse or clinical psychology. The only thing we can speak to is our past and present as we have dealt with these struggles firsthand. We can speak about treatments and strategies that have worked for us, and also what hasn't worked for us. So please take any advice or discussion as you see fit. All right, so welcome to episode 2.
Wow. We made it this far.
I know. We're back.
Yeah, I can't believe it, really. My commitment to things is terrible. To get a second one of these is a miracle.
Very excited.
Oh, yeah.
What?
You take the reins.
I don't want to take the reins.
All right, fine, I'll take the reins. We just want to thank everybody for all the feedback that we got over the week about our pilot episode, which I feel very Showtime-y and Hollywood-y saying pilot episode. I use it a lot in conversations at work when I tell people about the podcast because I really like hearing pilot episode. That's something to do with myself. But yeah, so thank you everybody for your responses and your like really lovely feedback. That was appreciated.
Yeah, all of the comments and the messages and the texts, they were just so great and made us feel really empowered and excited and appreciative. So thank you so much to everybody who listened and popped into our texts or our DMs and just let us know.
Slid right into those DMs.
And just let us know how much they liked it, because that was awesome. And it made us feel like we did a good job.
Putting some good out into the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Earning those good place points.
Yeah.
And we got a new microphone.
Yes, we did. So hopefully we sound clearer and we don't have that like rustling from the headphones that I was using.
Yeah, that was you leaning into me every time I was talking.
Yeah, but
I mean, if you guys really liked it, I could recreate it while we're talking. I could just go the whole time. I think it would be pretty accurate.
Probably. My sister actually texted me and she was like, are you filing your nails?
During a podcast.
Because that's something I do when I'm like on the phone with her or when I FaceTime my family, which is a weird thing to do when I'm talking to people. I should be more present. And I'm like filing my nails. So she heard all that rustling and she was like, are you filing your nails?
You're
and I was like, no.
To filing your nails.
I kind of am. I like to keep them nice and clean looking. But anyway.
Anyways. Anywho.
Any hoodles.
God. I won't forgive you for that one.
All right. So what's our check-in topic today, Maggie?
Our check-in topic was surviving Corona shelter in place and, you know, any continuing shelter in place that other states have. Surviving both things with them. You know, disordered eating and alcoholism, because I have a feeling it could be challenging for either. And it was for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's a good check-in topic, right?
I think so too. Since it was your pick, do you want to start the conversation?
Sure. It really sucked. It really sucked to be stuck at home during Corona and like, you know, I have a bar cart in my house, but now it's like, it has a turntable on it and glasses and some teas, but I was looking at the thing like, you know, if there was ever a time to just start drinking, it would be now. But I, like, had to remind myself why I wasn't drinking and also, like, kind of nudge myself and be like, you might not have made it through quarantine if you were still drinking. You might not be here. Not only, like, mentally, but, like, physically, I think, too, you know, it just, like, and it gave me, you know, drinking, I would wake up the next morning and I'm, like, a hypochondriac and I'd have so much anxiety. And my hypochondria was so much worse when I was drinking that I'm sure I would have convinced myself I had corona, like, 1,000 times more than I had already been convincing myself sober. So it was nice. And, like, you know, just, like, all the different bodily functions that are suppressed when you're drinking, it was really nice to go into this being like, I'm as healthy as I could possibly be right now. And, right. You know, my immune system's where it's supposed to be. So I went into this thing, like, kind of, not physically, but, like, mentally, like, armed to the teeth, knowing that I wasn't drinking, knowing I wasn't going to have the bad anxiety I would have had if I was still drinking, and knowing that my body was, like, where it needed to be. I stopped smoking, I stopped drinking, so that helped a lot. But it was really, really hard to hang out all day, every day.
Right.
When normally I'd be like, oh, that's a reason to drink at 9 a.m. Let's get wiggity-whacked. And then fall asleep at 1, wake up, and then continue to do it. And that's not sustainable. But that would have been exactly what I would have done. I would have had no money. I would have had no health and all this stuff. And you wouldn't have been able to be in quarantine with us if I was doing that, you know?
Right, yeah.
I wouldn't want to. It's just really ridiculous. All right. How about you?
That was a lot.
I know. That was a lot to take in.
I'm trying to process it before I come up
now
with my
own. Now take a ball
own.
And run with
it. I know. I feel like what you said about knowing that you are at the peak of your physical health, your mental health, and you walked in. You like went into quarantine at the height of all of those things, and that made you the most possibly equipped you could be to tackle a pandemic like this.
Yes.
And I thought that was a really powerful thing that you said, because I don't think a lot of people consider sort of where they're at as a success. I think we spoke about this last week. And we talked about knowing that there's always more room for growth, and sometimes knowing that there's more room can make you feel that there's nothing to be acknowledged or celebrated in the present.
Yeah.
And I think you saying, like, this is how I entered quarantine. I was in the best physical condition physical condition that I possibly could be.
Yeah.
And I was in the best state of mind, and no one was really ready for this, but
no,
you were the most ready that you could have been.
I could have personally been, yeah.
And I thought that was a really powerful thing that you said, because I don't think enough people realize that sometimes you are in the best position to take on a struggle, and people are always thinking about, well, I could be at this point. I could be so much farther along. And I think that's a really important thing for you to mention, because I think more people should consider that in their own lives.
Well, I was listening to This Naked Mind again, shout out, yesterday, and she was talking about, like, having fun. Can you ever have fun not drinking? And she was, like, going into this thing that I might get into at another time, but she was pretty much talking about, like, if you go into things not drinking, thinking, oh, well, I can't drink, this is going to suck. It's probably going to suck. But if you go in with a changed attitude, like curiosity, then you might actually have some fun. And on top of that, all of these problems that come up in our life is so much easier to deal with when you're not drinking, that you get all those problems knocked out. You can sit and think and be like, okay, well, I'm having this problem, how do I solve it? And then instead of drinking, instead of ignoring or being scared or threatened by the problem, you solve it, and then life is just pretty much already more fun,
right?
Just naturally, with no stress. And I totally forgot where I was going with that point.
That's okay.
I totally forgot. I was too busy trying to remember. But I just think that it puts you in a better position.
Sure.
To have a clear mind. And as I said last week, no one's supposed to be anywhere. But if you can put yourself in the best place that you can be, you're better off. You know, like, you don't have to be done. Like we were talking about last mm-hmm. week. You don't have to be done. But if you can do everything in your power to clear the path for yourself, like, why not? And it does make life more fun, or situations like this. Oh, this is where I was getting. More, you know, easier to deal with. I don't know what it would have been like. I feel like I would have been... I was already an emotional and mental wreck.
Right.
I feel like it would have been
Worth. Yes, no, you were, but I'm just listening.
No, totally. You could say I was. I'm aware. I have to live with me too. But I think it gave me the tools to go into it with actually a kind of, I don't know if it was morbid, but a curiosity of going into quarantine being like, how am I going to do with this? And I'm like really proud of how I got through quarantine.
Right.
You know? And so not drinking definitely helped with that one.
Right, right.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to go on a tangent.
No. No, it's okay.
Every time I put on This Naked Mind, that's like, oh man, I can't stop listening to this lady. And I'll go times where I don't listen, but I wanted to make sure that I was at my tip-top knowledge for this subject, so I've been trying to do my homework, and I just always keep going back to her. She's great. And it was so funny because I was thinking about talking about COVID. You know, I've been talking about that since last week. And when she said stuff like that, I was like, oh my God, yeah, that would be great. Yeah, I gotta remember that.
I know. Yeah. I feel like I'm always picking up like little nuggets of information from other people or other sources. And then when it comes time to share them with other people, I never remember what they are.
Why listen to us? Just go listen to them.
I know. Episode 2, and we're already like, don't listen
to us. We're a bunch of jabronis.
Oh my goodness. No, we're not.
No, we're pretty sweet.
Anyway.
How was Corona for you? Were there anything you had to employ to make things easier for you? Was it a struggle?
I mean, I feel like it sounds very foolish to say, I wish I could go back and do it all again, because no one wants to do it all again.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize going into this that it was going to be the extent of what it is, right? Like, we're in July right now. We're still in quarantine. I know our state is in phase 4, I think, in all counties, if not most of them. I know, it's like, she just rolled her eyes, and we're like, what does that even mean? You know, like, what is, like, it doesn't mean that people are encouraged to go outside without a mask, you know, like, it, what does it mean? But I feel like in the beginning, I thought that this was going to be, like, a week.
Oh, my God, I know, because you were still planning your vacation, and in my head, I was like, there's no way this chick is going on vacation.
Right, right, right.
Like, but I didn't want to say it out loud. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news.
Like, my workplace closed, and I thought that we were going to be open within a week. Like, I thought it was just going to be, like, we're going to clean everything up, and it's going to go away, and we'll go back to business as usual. And obviously, that wasn't at all what happened. But I feel like because I didn't tell myself in the beginning that this is going to be a long time, like this is going to be not a week, this is going to be months, and you have to figure it out. You have to figure out what is going to work for you and how you can plan to do better in your recovery. And I know that sounds silly because like no one can plan that kind of thing. Like you're just living in the moment every day. But I feel like every day was really, really challenging because my structure was completely gone.
Oh my gosh.
And I thought it was going to come back and it didn't, you know? And there's a certain accountability that comes with being in a physical location for work and showing up for people who are relying on you and showing up for your supervisors who are relying on you to do your job.
Yeah.
And when you're working remotely, that
the cat's
drive,
your supervisor.
Right. <You know>? Like that drive lessens. And I'm not saying that I completely slacked off. I mean, you know how hard I was working.
Yeah.
You know? But there's a certain accountability that comes with being in person and having people like need you to do your job with a deadline.
Yeah.
Right? And at home, the deadlines are a little bit looser.
Blurred.
You're making absolutely totally blurred.
Blurred lines. Without the implications.
But like it's really different. So I'm the sort of person that does not adhere to my own schedule or my own, I don't want to say goals.
Preaching to a choir.
But like, yeah. If I set something up for myself, I'm going to be the first person to be like, who cares what you have to say? I'm going to do, like, my brain's going to be like, I'm going to do this.
Oh my God, I'm the most defiant person in the world.
Like, in my, but it's not a defiance. It's just, I think for me, it's like a, I don't know if it's lazy. I'm not a lazy person, though, so
no,
I don't
know. No, you're not lazy at all.
Know.
It's defiant, I'm telling you.
Maybe
I'll be
it
like,
is.
Make a left, and then I'll be like, no.
In the trees, I'm going.
Yeah, I'll make a right. It's because you told me to do something.
I know. Maybe it is that, then.
No, I didn't just fart. It was the chair. You better leave that in.
Oh, my God. I just mouthed to Maggie, did you just fart? Because I heard, like, a little
toot, toot,
toot. Oh, my God. Sorry, I know. Now this became very lowbrow.
Now we're going to hashtag this or tag this podcast as potty humor or something like that.
That's the title of the episode. Did
potty
you just,
humor?
No.
Did you just fart? Actually, that would be great. I feel like it's very eye-catching.
Oh, my God. But what was I saying? Accountability, working from home. I don't remember now.
We were talking about structure, and I thought it was really interesting because you had a conversation with somebody about how it was going with COVID. I think it was like your therapist, right?
Maybe.
And they suggested putting your office in another room.
Yes, that was earlier.
That was
in
like
quarantine.
Pretty in the beginning of quarantine. So.
And I think that helped for
we
sure.
We carved out a pretty nice spot to give her an office to be like, once you close the doors. But you didn't adhere to that either.
What do you mean?
You know, like you be down there, clacking away.
Well, sometimes I like to be with people. That's the thing. I think, like, I identify as an introvert, but I love being around other people at the same time. It's just, like, I think I get a lot of my, like, recharging energy from being alone.
Yeah.
And I'm also, like, not the kind of person to...
You could be, like, an introvert and be good with people. But just like
yeah,
you
maybe.
Said, like, you have to recharge by yourself. Like, you need the time. Like, I can go to work and BS with the best of them, but then I come home and I need, like, an hour for people to leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so you can be an introvert. But be a people person.
I think that's probably what I am. But anyway, that doesn't have anything to do with recovery, I feel like.
Whatever, guys.
We're just, like,
you're
going
just,
all
like,
over.
Hanging out. We're just chilling. Being friends. How's it going?
I know.
Oh, Kayla's going to yell at me for saying guys again.
Oh, yeah. We have to not gender the people that are our listeners. The people or the audience, I don't know.
Would you guys rather be called dummies? Because then that's the
no.
next one.
No! Oh my gosh.
In honor of Liz Lemon and 30 Rock.
Oh, I don't watch 30 Rock enough.
All right, I'll say sports fans.
Sports fans.
Yeah, it's another TV show thing.
Oh boy. But what was I saying? Accountability, working from home, structure. Oh, when structure, like, goes out the window, it's really hard for me to stick to a routine eating schedule.
Yeah.
Like, when I was working at my job, I would be expected to be, you know, at work at a certain time in the morning, and my lunch time was a certain time in the afternoon, and then my snack time was usually at the end of the day, because I'm a kindergartner and I need my snacks.
Yeah.
But actually, everybody needs snacks. It's not just a kindergartner thing. Like, I shouldn't play it down that way.
Snacks.
Well, Maggie loves some snacks, but everybody, like, regardless of age or whatever, everyone needs to have snacks during the day. Like, that's just life.
Come on.
But...
Let's snack.
But with having all of those sort of like checkpoints during my day where I had to answer to other people and I had to be in other places, it was so much easier for me to stick to a regular meal plan or intuitive eating or whatever. And then when I'm left completely on my own, it's a lot harder to do that. And it's a lot harder to do that and have very normal thoughts about eating as opposed to really like hijacked thoughts about eating. Like, my brain just going off and telling me that I can't have this meal today, or I have to skip this part of my meal plan, or whatever. It's really, it's really hard. So if you are dealing with substance abuse or disordered eating in quarantine, just know that you are completely not alone. And you have supports. You have this podcast to listen to when things get hard. I know, right? Oh, boy. But, like, you have people in your life that care about you. And it's important to, instead of navigate this in a completely solitary and disconnected sort of lens, to reach out to those supports when you need it. Because that's the only way that you can, not the only way that, well, it's a pretty, like, important way in terms of, you know, an important method of getting better.
Because if you can't, because sometimes we all can't care about ourselves all the time, and sometimes you have to, like, be able to reach out and rely on external forces to care when you don't have the energy. Because, well, I mean, I don't know if that's a good message to say, but yeah, but, like, it's true, like, sometimes you just feel really down about yourself, and you need to be able to at least put yourself out there and put it into somebody else's or something else's hands, you know, to remind you why you're, like, you know, we're all worth being cared for and for caring for ourselves, and it, like, needs to be learned. It's not something that happens like that. It's definitely something that needs to be practiced, like loving yourself, caring about yourself.
Oh my God, absolutely.
It's like,
it's the hardest.
It's so much work. And, like, I joke, you know, I joke with about my internal pep talks that I give myself. And they're kind of mean. And, like, sometimes I need to ease up. And I'll be, like, thinking I'll mess something up. I'll be like, you're so stupid. I'm like, no, you're not. You're pretty smart. Like, you know, like, I have to double back and remind myself not to be such a jerk.
I completely understand that. I mean, in quarantine, I've set alarms on my phone for when it's time to eat.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, like, when I was setting these alarms up, you could, like, personalize it with a little message. And I think it was you and one of our mutual friends that messaged me and said, like, you need to be nicer to yourself, because the alarm messages were like, time to eat, you idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like,
but then she
awful.
Changed it to, like, the pressure on me. Like, what's Maggie making for dinner?
That's for 7 p.m.
Maggie's too tired to make dinner, so we're getting takeout.
That's fine, though. Yeah. Like, takeout is great.
Oh, my God.
We have to have that Save pizza us. This week.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know.
We gotta go. We gotta.
Oh, yeah. See, it's important. Another important thing is pizza. You know?
I mean, it is, but
it's the food pyramid. It's just pizza.
The whole thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, pizza's a pyramid, so it works.
It is.
Yeah. But, yeah. I think it was really challenging for everybody, and I think everyone probably had to introspect a little bit, and I know a lot of people who messaged me during quarantine about the amount that they drink and, you know, being like, oh my God, you know, I never realized how much booze I was drinking, or I'm just boozing more now. But you can ask, I know someone who works at a liquor store, and he said sales were up like tenfold. And, you know, and like that destructive thought I had, like, this is the time to drink. Millions of people had that thought. You know, and it might have been the time to drink for those people, but it was not the time for me to end my sobriety. It was
Absolutely.
Not the time. And yeah, that was a pretty long check-in, but I think it was worth it, because I think it was really, like, really hard thing for everybody. So I think it was pretty important to throw it out there.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
100% agree.
We're going to high five. Good job.
Nice.
All right, so we're going to go into the letters, right?
Yes.
Do you want to do your letters first, or would you like me to do it?
Mine. Let's do your letter first.
Okie dokie.
Because we're going to shift gears a little bit. This letter is not necessarily related to sobriety or eating disorder. This letter is not necessarily, don't laugh at me, related to sobriety or eating disorder recovery. It is, however, related to queerness, and that is something that we do want to discuss.
Always dying to discuss
queerness. On the podcast. So we're going to jump into Maggie's choice of letter first.
Ooh, yes.
So take it away, Maggie.
Take it away. Okay, so this question... Oh, right here.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Is from Kat, And she or her is her pronouns. She did not put where she was from. We're trying to think of a catchy name for the when people say
that they didn't
leave it blank.
Yeah. If you guys have any suggestions for that, let us know.
Yeah, because like, what's it that you just breakups? It's the void when
yes.
they don't write where they're from,
and
which
it's
is from The Good Place for me. And,
is it? The Void is from The Good Place?
Well, it's, yeah, you know, Janet's Void, but
oh.
that might not be where they got it from.
Right.
But it would have been great if we had it first, because...
Well, we're not going to snag it for
them. Very Good
them.
Place theme. No, I know. So we need another... So if you have any suggestions, please fill out our Google Doc with that, because that's... we need one, and I'm not that catchy. But anyways, so Kat did not say where she was from, and her question is... The bi erasure in the community, needing to pick a side / be less greedy, I'm doing air quotes
mm-hmm.
right now, being too afraid to fully come out. My interpretation of this question is she's talking about the LGBT community.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And this is something I feel very strongly about, and I'm sure Sam feels even more strongly about it, because Sam is bi and I am not. But... I don't really like, so I'm going to go at this pretty aggressively because I think there's no space or room for it. And when I don't think there's room for stupidity, I don't really entertain it. Because I think if you entertain it, you give it space to grow.
Sure.
And like you give it a platform, and when something has a platform, it has legitimacy. So I do not
mm-hmm.
have any, what's the word, patience for this. But it's ridiculous. And I personally know a lot of lesbians that say disparaging things to bi- a lot of gays and lesbians say disparaging things about bisexuals, about them being greedy or picking a side, or I would never date somebody who's bisexual. And it's horrifying, because if you think about all of the oppression that the LGBT has had to wade through and live through and fight and come out on the other side, why are we infighting and internalizing that oppression towards a group of people in our group?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not accepting everybody, you know, with open arms? And, you know, I've never really been on the receiving end of that bi erasure. I'm pretty masculine. But it's just... And I know when I was younger, I felt like that too. You know, I feel strongly about it because I felt that way. But I'm like an adult now.
Right.
You know,
so
you know
like
what I mean?
You've...
It's like, time to get over it. Because usually sometimes, and I don't want to sound like a jerk, but it's like insecurity. You know, oh, they're going to leave me. That's like, has nothing to do with them. That's all you.
Right. Absolutely.
And just because their sea of people that they date, bisexuals, date, doesn't mean they're any more at risk of leaving you. You know what I mean? Because, you know, 50 million, 100 million, it's still a million. It's still a lot of people, you know, if you're really that worried.
Right.
You know, even if they were just gay, there's still a... Oh God,
that's exactly
a
what
lot
I was going to say.
You know, so, like, that's obviously... I think that's... It says a lot more about those people who feel that way than it says about bisexuals at all. There's no such thing as coming out fully. Didn't we all learn about the Kinsey scale? That's, like, the first thing we learn when we come out. And so how are you living by this Kinsey scale thing, but then not, you know, not acknowledging bisexuals and bisexuality?
Right.
It's ridiculous.
It is. I feel very strongly about this question, too. And I'm really happy that Kat shared it with us, because, I mean, as you said, I am a bisexual individual.
Holla.
And I can't really attest to ever having experienced someone telling me to pick a side. And it's probably because I came out later in life and I haven't experienced, I don't want to say I haven't experienced queerness for all that it is, but I really haven't yet, because I've only been out for 2 years about. And it's a really... It's different when you're an adult and you align yourselves with other like-minded adults who love and appreciate you for who you are, and they don't really question your sexuality. They just appreciate you being forthcoming about it and being brave to share it with them. And they don't really judge you for it, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm sure that if I were to come out earlier in life...
It's like schoolyard talk.
Right. Like, yeah. I would have experienced something like this.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of bisexual people do. And it sucks that it still happens. It's still, I mean, I said if I were younger, it would have happened. But it happens to adults, too. Oh, I mean, yeah. As you said, like, there are people that are maybe hetero or gay or lesbian that view bisexuals as not really fully coming out.
Yeah.
Or not choosing, quote-unquote, aside to love or to date. And
yeah.
It's a really unfortunate part of, like, the... Especially within the LGBT community, you know? Like, when someone's judging me and they're not gay or LGBT or whatever, and they come from this very, like, closed-minded worldview, I'm not going to make excuses for that, but I could see, like, all right, if you've never experienced a person, right, like, you're ignorant and
yeah.
you don't know any better. But, like, if you're
worse,
in the community,
yeah. that's why
like,
I
you
have no patience for
need
it.
To, yeah, like, you need to be more accepting because...
I've heard it so many times, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
I call them gaggle of lesbians, but, you know, I got a little gaggle of lesbians, and I've heard it a few times, maybe not recently, but it's just, like... It's so silly.
It is. It's like, it doesn't even have anything to do with the person that's making the judgment.
So you know
right?
what, Kat? Who cares what they say? You know? Who cares? Get angry.
Absolutely. Just, it's like...
I was on like a dating website a few years ago. And I was talking to this chick, and she said something like, I could never date a bisexual, and it was immediately out. I was out.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Gonna have to stand by my morals and say something. So I said something, you know, and it was, that was
And
the
that's
end
really
of that.
Important.
Like,
but, like, staying...
You have to
yeah.
act... You have to act true to your morals and
mm-hmm.
values. And it was like, what am I gonna choose right now? A chance at a date? That's probably gonna suck because... That's a sucky thing to say, or
sure.
am I going to stand by my morals and say something now?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I met you, so who cares? Thank you, person who doesn't like bisexuals. Change your mind.
I want that to be the episode title too, but we're going to have to discuss it after and figure it out. There's just so many good nuggets coming from you today.
I hope this is a good episode.
I hope so too. You let us know, everybody. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you want to say anything else about this letter? Or do you feel...
I don't want you to feel badly about yourself for being bisexual, all my little bisexual babies. It's all good.
Yeah.
Do you?
I agree. I don't want anyone to feel badly about
their ignorance
who they are.
And their insecurity is theirs. It's not yours.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you so much for writing, Kat. We love and appreciate you.
And we hope you appreciated our answer.
And we hope that you appreciate who you are.
Oh, so much better.
Sorry. I just wanted to say,
that
like,
so
it's
good.
More about her, right?
I know,
than
so
us.
That was so good.
But, anywho, we're going to move mosey on down to letter numero dos. I'm very excited about this letter. I feel very strongly about this one.
Ooh.
You're gonna hear me go off today.
Oh, boy.
A little bit. Not, like, bad.
I'm
but
scared.
Don't be scared. It's... I think this is a really important letter, and I'm really happy to talk about this one. So, our second letter comes from Kylie from Texas.
Texas, y'all!
So excited
That's
we have
awesome.
A letter writer from Texas.
And neither of us know a Kylie from Texas,
nope.
So that is so sick. Thank you, Kylie from
Thank
Texas.
You, so
you
much
made our day.
For writing, Kylie. When we saw your letter, we were like, yay, we're reaching people, and that's what we want to do. So thank you so much. Kylie writes... How do you navigate supporting friends in recovery without feeling like you're tiptoeing around them? For example, having a drink around a sober friend or wanting to talk about a new fitness goal around a friend with an eating disorder. This is the real...
golden question.
This is the real shit right here. I'm sorry, I cursed. I know, but you cursed in the last one.
Yeah,
so.
No, I said the F-bomb.
I feel like we don't have to, like,
no, I
limit
don't know why
cursing.
I'm like Landeskog in that Colorado Avalanche post.
I know. But, like, it's just, I don't know. Anyway, Kylie, thank you so much for writing
great
in.
Question.
This is a really good question.
Kat's was great, too.
For sure. Well, I mean, all of the questions we're getting are great.
We're amazing. but this we feel very strongly
about. But I want to focus on this one.
Because this is something I feel too. Right. I think we both feel a type of way about... Ooh, I'm sorry.
Don't say that.
We feel a type of way about feeling a type of way.
I don't like that phrase. Ooh, but so anyway. Sorry.
I use it a lot. I've curbed it since we met.
But Kylie, this is a really, really important question because the goal... I was going to say the goal of a friendship, and then that's really corny. I'm not going to say that. But, what? Like, Kylie, like, I'm assuming your goal with your friends is not to trigger them or to make them feel uncomfortable or to make them feel, unsafe. Is that too strong a word? I'm not sure. But
fine.
I also think that you, Kylie, have a life to live, and... someone else's triggers are not your responsibility. And what I mean when I say that is that when you are talking about a fitness goal, if that like comes up in conversation somehow, if you are with a friend in a group of people and that friend has a struggle with exercise or has a really negative relationship with exercise, them being triggered is not your responsibility. Like that's something that person has to continue to work out. And the reason why I say that, now I'm like, and the reason why I say this, and the reason, but I know that I get very, very triggered when people talk about exercise. And when they talk about a new fitness goal that they have, a new gym that they signed up for, X amount of pounds that they lost, my brain goes into like super crazy, I don't want to say crazy actually, but like super hypersensitive mode to all of that, because I used to have a really negative relationship with exercise, and I'm still working on it every day. My relationship with exercise is not fixed. It's not cured. But me being triggered by that isn't on anybody else. Like, that's on me to work out and to try to navigate by going to therapy, by journaling my feelings, by meeting with my nutritionist and my psychiatrist. Like, that's my job to work out. So I'm not saying, Kylie, that you should be going up to your friend who has an eating disorder and say, like, guess how much I lifted today.
Oh my god,
awesome, wow, like, I'm incredible. Like, don't do that, Avi. But like, I don't think if it comes up, I don't think that's the end of the world, you know? I feel like a lot of times when we talk about triggers, we talk about it in a way that's like a snowplow. Like, we just want to get rid of all of the triggers and make everything good and make everything perfect and make everything bad go away. And triggers are there to serve a purpose, to teach us something about ourselves. It doesn't always have to be like this, oh my God, I can't believe this happened kind of experience. Like, it's something that we have to continue to learn from. So, I mean, that's how I view it. I feel like it's easier for me to talk about the disordered eating component, because the drinking piece is something, and this is why I wanted to talk with you about it, is something that I'm still working on with Maggie, like trying to figure out, like, when is it okay for me to be drinking alcohol in front of my partner? I don't want to upset her. I don't want to trigger her. I don't want to make her feel uncomfortable. I know that she has internal work to do, and it's not really on me to do that work, but I also want to be supportive and helpful.
It's definitely absolutely on you. Yeah,
but like,
you're right.
You know, like, I feel so strongly about this question.
It sucks.
And it's hard.
Not drinking and being around drinking.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely situational for me. I like taking shots of vodka and tequila. I don't like beer. Wine was fine, but I'd have a sip of wine and be like, okay, can I have vodka now? It was like I used as like a, we'll have vodka later, just enjoy this while we have this, you know, like try to stave off ripping shots, as I like to say, or I liked to say. So being around beer is not so hard, and being around wine doesn't bother me, but so I thought it was good because we went into Corona and we haven't really had a time where I was around people having shots and throwing them back. And then I went to an outdoor little party and they were taking shots, and I said, oh boy, I am not where I thought I was.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. It was miserable. but that's not, like, they shouldn't stop their good time because of me. I just need, like you said, I just had work. I have work to do. You know, if that's something that's going to bother me, I'm going to have to figure it out. Whether it's not put myself in those situations all the time. Like, yes, if I go to a party and people are taking shots, okay, I understand we're at a party. I'm not going to go to a bar.
Right.
You know,
right,
I'm not going to go out of my way to put myself into that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely have to do the work for when I do find myself in those situations. But also, I think this speaks to what I mentioned earlier with this naked mind, where you can't go into situations, and this is from the person who's sober or whatever, you can't go into situations newly sober with the attitude of, this is gonna suck. And I understand, you know, you probably feel like that. I feel like that all the time. But this idea of going into it with curiosity, like, is this gonna be fun? Or like going into vacation, like, we went to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Like a month into me being sober for vacation. And I kind of went into it like, this sucks. Like, I can't drink, I can't do anything. We're around all these drunk people and they look like they're having so much fun. But now, after what I've heard yesterday, it kind of changed my perspective. Like, I want to go into my next vacation feeling curious and like, what new things am I going to feel? And I'm going off on a tangent about this, so I'm actually going to quell it. But I just, like, I think that on top of, like, not, like, don't pour me a shot if I'm sober, you know,
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Don't hand me one. That's...
And I think that's a very basic thing that Kylie probably already understands.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Like, but she probably gets that.
Like, I just, it's hard because, like, I'll be at work and hearing people talk about, I don't know where I stand with this question. They'll be talking about how, like, drunk they got and how much fun they had. And I cut hair and I'm standing there and I'm, in my head, I'm like, oh man, that sucks. You know, it's still tough for me. And I don't know what the right answer for this one is.
I feel like something else that could potentially be done is also to ask the person, like, where their boundary is, or...
Yeah, yeah, just straight up ask.
Right, like, just, like, make it really explicit.
And I know you're pretty open with the things.
Right.
You know.
Right, and sometimes people won't be open about their boundary, or they'll say that they're fine when they really are struggling.
Yeah, I do.
And
that.
Then
That's
at
me.
That point, it's really not on you anymore.
Yeah.
Because you gave them the opportunity to say where they're at on that day.
Yeah,
you know,
like,
or in that moment.
With the party, when the shots were happening, like, you asked if I was okay, and I said, I'm fine. And, like, that was just something that I had to deal with. That wasn't on you.
Mm.
Or the people that were there.
Right.
It was just something that, like, if I needed to take myself out of a situation, I will. You know, I know when my hourglass is empty, you know what I mean?
Right.
I know when it's time. So.
I think, too, it's important to maintain your own boundary with people, to ask people where their boundaries are. That way you can be supportive and helpful.
Yeah.
Without feeling like their recovery or their triggers are on you to avoid, on you to help them navigate.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, like, everyone's journey is an individual kind of thing. You can't,
yeah.
You know, people, I think it's important, and I think, Kylie, your letter speaks to your really, like, open heart and your compassion for people in your
life. If you're already worried about it, you're probably doing the right thing.
Mm, that's a good point. So, I would say just, you know...
If you're comfortable, ask.
Yeah, exactly. If you're comfortable to ask, and try not to internalize. That was the word I was looking for. Try not to internalize so much of whatever struggle is going on for these people in your life, because that's something that they have to work out. Like, they have to maneuver through that space. And they can share that with you. They can keep you informed on what's happening for them, but it's not on you to get them through it. So that's what I wanted to... To say to that letter.
Yeah. And I already went off on tangent, so you got my answer. It's just, it's so gray, you know? Everyone's so different.
Yeah. I know, every case is different for everybody.
Yeah.
But thank you so much, Kylie, for writing.
I hope you found it helpful.
I hope so. And we wish you all the love and the luck in the world as you continue to support people in your life and support yourself, of course.
Exactly.
So that brings us to our affirmation of the day.
Which I don't know.
I know.
This is a happy surprise surprise for me.
I'm happy. She's opening up her book. I got my little Show Yourself Pod book. I think we should continue doing these as like a surprise because I think it keeps it more authentic. So yeah, we're gonna. Cool. You can surprise me next week.
I'll surprise you next week. Next week's my birthday.
Yeah, it's your birthday episode. I gave you a birthday punch.
Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. Don't look. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna read it to you. So this affirmation of the day I found. I forget from where. I know I got it from Anita Walk. That's the National Eating Disorders Association. I went to Anita Walk in Brooklyn a few years ago, and I got this little affirmation on a little piece of paper, and I still think about it a lot of the time when I'm really struggling. So this is what I'm going to share with you. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. And I don't know if this is like verbatim what was on that little piece of paper. Okay. I'm just going off of like what I essentially remember it saying. So, the disorder promises what recovery delivers.
Oh my God.
What do you think about that? How do you like them apples?
Alcohol promises what sobriety delivers. That's the one I read all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing.
That's so crazy. Yes. Alcoholism promises what sobriety is. Yeah.
It's the freaking same thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's so crazy that you picked that one. I read that on the Stop Drinking subreddit all the time. Oh, that's my gosh. One of their things.
So yeah. What do you think about that?
It's so true.
Yeah. I know. So I agree.
And now I get to say what I wanted to say earlier.
What is what? I mean...
So, what? I think her name is Annie. Okay. That's what I was trying to look up.
Annie...
From This Naked Mind.
Okay.
But she was saying... Let's make sure this. I have her name. Yeah, Annie Grace. So what Annie Grace was saying was drinking alcohol feels the same in no matter what setting you're in. If you're home alone, drunk is mm-hmm. the same drunk as if you're at a game, it's drunk, or as if you're at a party, is drunk. It all feels the same, right?
Okay.
The drunk is the same. So when you stop drinking, you are able to experience the actual unfiltered fun of the situations that you're in. So you go into a party and now you're having fun at the party, and it doesn't feel the same way as if you were at a hockey game, or if you were, which is so funny because she mentioned hockey and I love hockey, so yeah.
Yeah.
And or if you are on vacation, now you have the time and the mental capacity to feel everything and not be numbed down by the same feeling you'd feel if you were sitting alone in your room.
Mm-hmm.
So it promises this fun, this life, this great feeling, but you can experience that all the time, no matter what, if you're just like present and sober and there. And it's like a really interesting thing. Stop smiling at me. This is a very
I'm just really proud of you.
Really interesting thing. That's so true. And I'm still working on it. Like you said, you have to go into it with curiosity. Like I was talking about, or like Annie was talking about, that I'm just regurgitating. But no, it's so, so true. And then Alan Carr says the same thing. Like people, and it's kind of worded differently, but people drink to feel the same way that sober people feel all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's coming from a more clinical point of view.
Sure.
Meaning that alcohol is a substance, it's an addictive substance, your body starts to adjust to it, and then it starts to feel withdrawals no matter how much you drink. It could be one day, having a few glasses of wine, your body is still going to feel the effects of not having that wine in it. So when you do drink, you're relieving your body of that feeling of not having that drink. But when people don't drink, they never have that withdrawal feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So they feel how you would feel after the first sip after a long period of time of not drinking, but they feel like that all the time. So that's from a more clinical point of view.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the same exact thing. That's such a big sober world thing, which is so funny. Because this whole point of this podcast is how it
there's like overlaps between what we're going through, even though they're so different. Mm-hmm. But there's just a lot of similarity as well.
Yeah.
I remember when I saw that, I think I like took a picture of it. Like I was holding the little affirmation in my hand and I took a picture of it. I think it's probably like on my Instagram somewhere or something. But it really resonated with me because it really makes you reckon with and grapple with the idea that your disorder is telling you that your life will get better if you continue to engage in it, but that's just complete bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only way that you get better is by breaking down those disordered habits and those disordered cyclical patterns and things like that, like things of that nature. And it's about committing to recovery so that you can get to that better place that that your disorder is telling you you're eventually going to get to if you just continue engaging in it.
You just keep doing this crappy thing.
Right. Are you looking at
I'm looking through your Instagram.
Yeah, I don't think it's there. No, like, it was an old one. Like, from years ago, I think it was probably the first NIDA walk I went to, and that was in 2014 or 15. It was after I finished partial hospitalization and IOP, so... and that's a conversation we can go into another day.
That's a little dangle for you guys.
It's like a little...
How dare you do that to them, these poor people.
But we don't have time.
To listen to a whole other hour of us.
I know. This has been a long time. Longer. Yeah, because we're on episode 2, baby.
We're doing great.
Woo!
So that was a great affirmation. Wow, what a good one. Did you know it was like a sober thing too?
No, I didn't. Because I don't... Like, the only engagement I have with sobriety is really through you.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't a personal thing that I've ever really struggled with myself. So any little pieces of that I get through supporting you and being there for you. High five. All right, are you ready to wrap this
baby
mother
up? Yeah.
Ah, we're gross. Okay. All righty, guys. So you can follow us on Instagram at showyourselfpod. Feel free to DM us, tag us in your favorite recovery posts, and submit your recovery-related questions to be featured on the podcast in the future. Just click on the link in our bio to submit questions for upcoming episodes.
Please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Tell your friends about us. We aim to reach as many people as possible, and your engagement with us online will help us to do just that.
Hell yeah. We're really glad you listened in with us today and hope you'll join us next time as we continue to show ourselves by growing and learning from each other.
Bye, all you cool cats and kittens.